Well, hello, it's season 5, and we are super excited that you are here as we dig into one of my favorite subjects. This season, we will be chatting with some amazingly smart and influential people in and around the arts and entertainment industry about something I like to call the inner critic. Who is this mean voice that constantly tries to stop us? And how do we confront it and kick it out of our way? From therapists to deliverance ministers to fashion icons and entrepreneurial geniuses, we are going to talk about that inner voice that wants to stop our creative passions and hinder our ability to shift culture. Head on over to my website, lindseymorgan.co, and use the promo code LOVE for 50% off the Crushing Your Inner Critic Masterclass. And now, let's get to that conversation with this week's incredible guests about their journey with the inner critic.
Welcome back. So excited to be here with you guys. And I'm super excited about this beautiful girl that I have the honor of interviewing today. You guys are going to be super blessed by her. She is a therapist. Y'all know I love some therapy, okay? Because I love learning about how our minds work and our emotions and how that either helps us move forward in our dreams and our callings and our passions or how it stops us. And so Miss Sarah Harris, she is a Jesus believing.
That's right.
And she's a mother of 4 kiddos. And yeah, she's got an amazing background. And what she does now is really fun. So Sarah, I'll let you introduce yourself and tell us a little bit more about what you've done and what you're currently doing. And then we'll jump into some fun content. So,
okay. Well, thanks for having me. Hi guys. So like Lindsay said, I am a mom of 4. I am married, and I live in Florida. So I am a therapist. I have my own private practice that I opened up about 4 years ago. Maybe a little over 4.5 years ago. But I specialize in maternal mental health and then also in trauma treatment for women. And so that actually came on the heels of when I had my last baby. I was blindsided by postpartum anxiety. And so when I actually, and it was devastating for me because one, I had no idea what was happening and I'm a therapist. And I was like, this is not supposed to be happening to me. And I know that sounds very arrogant, but it just initially, when it happened, I'm like, this is what I help people with this. How do I not even understand what's going on? And anyway, so as I went out to go get my own healing and started to look for my own therapist, because it's like, okay, I'm a therapist. I need a therapist. I need somebody to help walk me through this. I realized there was a huge gap. I went to 3 different therapists who could not help me. And maybe it was because I was a therapist, so they kind of minimized some things and they couldn't see what was going on, but I was not textbook for postpartum depression. So nobody caught that I was suffering from postpartum anxiety, and it looks very different. And so that ended up leading me down a road of getting my own healing and then going and getting certification so that there were not more women who were suffering the way I was, because there is a plethora of, it's called perinatal mood and anxiety disorders that you can go through. And so, and then trauma ends up becoming a big part. If you have a history of trauma, that can come in with motherhood. And then also in pregnancy and in labor and delivery, there are lots of traumas that actually happen in those areas too. So anyway, so I combined the two and I opened up my practice about 4.5 years ago. So when I actually opened up my practice, that very month that I signed the lease to the office, and I'm like, okay, got all my certifications, like, we're doing this, God. And he's like, okay. He gives me all this inspiration and these ideas to work with Christian women on renewing their minds, strengthening their minds in the truth of God's word and understanding their identity in Christ. And I'm like, God, that's not therapy. Like, I can't, that's not therapy. Like, that's, what are we doing here? Like, I just signed the lease. And he's like, hold on. I got you. Like, this is your stepping stone. This is your now, but I need you to know this isn't where you're stopping. And so I'm like, okay, well, I don't even know. Like, I didn't even know the capacity. I was so therapy focused. I'm like, God, I don't even know how I would work with women in that regard, like how that would play out. What does that look like? He's like, well, it's not for now. And so he just kept building that really a strong desire and just building that up in me. And so I was like, all right, well, you'll let me know when the time and you'll let me know how that's going to happen and all of that. So fast forward a couple years down the road, and this part is sad. But in January of 2020, I am one of seven kids, and we are, the Lord's favor has been upon my family. Our relationship for the seven of us and with all of their spouses and my parents, we are an extremely close, we are not perfect, and it is hard sometimes. It takes compromise and forgiveness, but the goodness of God is really present in our family, and we are extremely close. And so in January of 2020, there was a tragic accident, and my two-year-old nephew ended up passing away. And so when I went into the hospital room to say my last words to him and say goodbye to him, I had said, okay, your tiny life, like I already knew God was using his little life. It wasn't, that's the days he was supposed to live. God made use out of that. Like, this was the plan for him, and God was going to use it in a mighty way. And I just thought, I want my life to serve the Lord, and I want it to be mighty in a mighty way. And I said, I am going to follow Jesus no matter what it takes, the way you couldn't. I promise you, I am going to, we're going to be in heaven, and we're going to rejoice about how much your family, even we loved the Lord before, but even God is going to use your passing in such a mighty way for his glory. And so I was like, all right. So the Lord really started to confirm things in 2020 about moving into the direction of working with women in renewing their minds, strengthening their minds, and the truth of God's word. So, and then he started to reveal coaching to me, because before that, I did not even, I'm like, I don't know how. Yeah, exactly. So then I started, that took like a while to connect the dots. And then a little over a year ago, started to transition into coaching. So I still have my practice, and that is still very important to me. But I do know my future is more in this direction. And so a few months ago, you and I both have the same business coach. Yeah. I started out coaching with the intention of, okay, women who have a desire for something more, really feel called by the Lord, but they're not moving forward. They're getting stuck. That's how I was going to work with them on what's going on in their mind and all of that. And God kept bringing business people into me. And I'm like, I'm not doing business. Like, I that's not what I'm going to do, God. I'm not doing business. I don't want to go down the marketing. You told me renewing mind that we're working with mine, my therapy background, like, and trauma background, like, this is what we're doing. And so anyway, fast forward, I have a session with Carrie, and I'm like, something's not working. And so we do a deep dive. Lo and behold, we end up concluding that, yes, the Lord is saying work with women entrepreneurs. And so I'm not working in the elements of, you know, marketing and strategy, but our mind is a really powerful part of the results that we are seeing in our life and in our business. And so we actually create a lot of what we experience. Of course, we are not sovereign over our lives. We are not in complete control of everything. There are things that happen that are outside of our control, but how we do get a choice in how we respond and how we think about what is happening, about our circumstances, and those powerfully, tangibly create results and circumstances in our lives. Mm-hmm. And so that is what I work with women. And so it's cool because God has taken my background of understanding the brain, working with thoughts, understanding, you know, even having to learn about trauma and how it impacts the brain and neural pathways and all of these things. He's taking it now, and I'm not working in the same regard I was with trauma, but working to help his daughters and his women get into places that are, they're starting to live their life according to his word and his promises versus living just according to circumstances.
So when you say his words, and sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, go.
Okay. No, it's good because I think this is really cool and really powerful. When you say his words, you do mean scripture, but you also mean what he is telling us to do, yeah, like day by day, moment by moment. Yeah. Is that what you're saying?
I am saying that. So I do believe you need to start at the root of scripture, and anything that the Lord is telling you, he is going to be able to be confirmed in scripture. Right. And you do need to take everything back to scripture and make sure that you are hearing it from the Lord. This, I went through a very long process of learning to hear from the Lord. And that was a whole experience too.
Exactly. Me too.
So, and yes, I mean, one of the most powerful ways that he talks to me is through, I am a huge journaler. I have always been I have journals that I probably need to go ahead and burn from earlier days in my life. Because it was a way I processed things. So it was just be filled with negative things. So if people were to look back, it would be like, this is all bad stuff. Well, yeah, it was my way of emotional processing. It was nothing about good stuff. It was all the hard. But
yeah,
he's really used that into a listening prayer type of thing, and where I start to journal and I just start to go with what I feel that he is saying to me. And over the years of practicing listening, I now know I hear his voice, and I have had to learn to listen to what he has said, even though when it is contradictory to my circumstances. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where he's so powerful, is he makes us walk through. I mean, the very things I'm working with women on, he has really made me go through. And really grown me and developed me in those areas.
Yeah. I just want to affirm what you were saying, like, to the audience, like, same exact thing. Like, I am an extrovert, I'm an external processor. And so God taught me early on to, like, write out my feelings, you know? And I think my feelings are kind of stuck inside of me. Like, I kind of push them down to, like, get through life. And so when I started journaling with the Lord, I mean, kind of a back and forth dialogue format, that is what kind of changed everything for me. I mean, everything, you know, and it's like, and I kind of jokingly told my friend, it was like, hey, I was like, you know, when I die, if you're still around, would you burn these journals? Well, you say things and then other things happen. So, like, literally all my journals were in a storage unit.
Oh no.
Robbed me and stole everything. And I mean, I was pretty devastated, but then the journal part, I was like, like, I might have, like, no, just kidding. I don't happen. But I mean, it was weird because all those journals, it probably had some, a lot of ouchies in them, I like to call it, a lot of pain, you know.
Yeah.
I'm all gone. You know, maybe they're helping someone somewhere. Dumpster in Los Angeles. I'm not sure. But I love that you also do that. Like, is there any brain science behind that? I've never really asked anybody this, but
For sure. So really, when we understand, so I'm going to dive into explaining, like, the power of thoughts and what ends up happening, the dynamic of thoughts. And so why there's so much scripture that confirms that the Lord is trying to call us up beyond. He's talking to us about who we are. Like, when you understand in identity, the power of identity in your brain, that's a whole nother story. And we're not going to get into that, but that's super, super powerful. And he talks so much about who we are in Christ. And we picked up all these lies to identify with throughout our lifetime. And he's so gracious that he gives us his word to say, hey, no, this is who you are. But so our thoughts create emotions. Every single thought that you have is producing an emotion. Emotions that we are feeling, they are the driving force of our behaviors, of the actions that we take. And our actions are what are producing results in our lives. So it's really important to understand if I have a business and I felt that the Lord called me to business, and this is what I deal with a lot of the women that I work with, is they start their business. They really sought the Lord. They got confirmation. They got godly counsel, and they really know that, okay, I know, like, these are my giftings. Like, this is the Lord all the way around. They're super excited. They start their business. They start taking action and nothing happens. And then they are like, okay, I must have heard God wrong. Things aren't working correctly. Like, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm not good enough for this. Nothing is working. And so when we understand that thoughts create our emotions, what are the emotions that are going to come with thinking like that, right? Now you're discouraged, you're unmotivated, you're feeling insecure and inadequate. Well, if our emotions are the thing that's fueling our behavior, and the emotions that I'm struggling with, I've got a plethora of discouragement, defeat, insecurity, inadequacy. Like, what is the action? How much am I going to be showing up? How much am I going to be taking risk? How much am I going to be just, I'm not going to be doing that. And so I'm going to start to dwindle. So the Lord talks about when he has called us, if I'm using my circumstances to confirm, which is what we often do. So for somebody who's walking through, and somebody, we can go ahead and say me, because I've done it. So for somebody who's walking through a struggle in their business, and I know that the Lord called me to this, right? But then I start to question everything. Well, now I'm using my circumstance to be the thing that my thoughts and feelings are equal to. They are controlling my thoughts and feelings. They're now directing the path of my life, right? Because if thoughts and feelings are creating my actions, which are producing my results, then my circumstances are now directing my life. Mm. Versus what about what happened with God saying, hey, this you're to be doing this business. Like, this is what I'm calling you to. But if I'm going based off of, if my thoughts are all based off of my circumstances and not based off of the word of God, the promises that he has spoken over me and the things. And when I look at, this is what I love so much. When I dive deep into so many stories with women, I'll be like, well, what does the Lord say? And it's always off the wall stuff. Like, it's always like way grander and way more than they're like, I'm struggling with this thing. And he's telling me I'm going to go and help everyone else with it. Like, what in the world? And I'm like, that's because he's getting us out of this. He sees who we are. He knows his power in us. He's wanting to elevate our thinking and our identity so that we align with the things he's pumped. Does that make sense? I feel like
I was thinking I need to be taking notes as she's talking. And then I'm like, oh no, Lindsay, it's recorded. You can go back. Second, I was thinking about kind of the journey I've been on, you know, and it was funny because I like to go and have like my little like board meetings with God, I call them, literally go away and, you know, for a few hours or half a day or whatever. And I just let God talk to me about my business, you know, and it was so funny because, you know, I'm constantly like, oh, how do I do this? And I'm trying to do all these things in my own strength, or like you said, based on my circumstances or what Lindsay can do. Even just today, he was like, what he said to me, I was like, I mean, wow, there's a big discrepancy, God, between what you're saying and what I'm trying to do. And then I had to go take a walk and like try to work it out in my own head. And you probably have better ways of doing this than the way I do.
No, walking is actually really good. Do that. That's good. That's great.
So good. Because I was like, I got to walk this out and kind of.
No, that's a great way to process.
You know, like, why am I still trying in my own little circumstance, you know, to do all these things when he's telling me to focus up here? And I was like, I don't understand what the disconnect there is, God. You know, like I know a lot, you know, I talk a lot about the inner critic. That's my season's on. So I know, like, for me, I know that the not good enough or the I'm too much, like, you know, that dichotomy, which the enemy likes to throw us around or throw me around in, you know, either I'm not good enough or I'm too much. You know, it's like, thanks, enemy, you know.
The two extremes.
Yeah. And it's like, you're really revealing your cards right now, because for so many years, I thought I wasn't good enough. And then all of a sudden you're telling me I'm too much. Dude, like pick one, you know? Anyway. So I know a lot about the inner critic. I know about jumping over the feelings of fear and the feelings of not being good enough. But then I've kind of reached this new issue that I'm like, wow, I'm still trying to do it all myself. And not press into your power to do this big thing that you're telling me to go after, but I don't know how to. I like kind of don't know how to. But here's the question, Sarah. Do I not know how to, or is that my excuse because of maybe like a bigger fear?
Okay, so it can be both. Okay. Our brain loves to know how. So, and actually we don't need to know how. We do not need to know how. We need to believe that. So the way the brain works, when it can see and it can visualize and it can. So when the Lord is giving us things and he's telling us stuff and he's pouring out who we really are and what he's wanting to do for us, that is what we need to believe. Belief, actually, we think we need to know how, and our brain gets caught up in how. And so we'll spin out in cycles saying, I don't know how, I don't know how. And then we feel so stuck. But it's actually, so what I do with my clients is I'll be like, you're getting stuck in how. The Lord designed our brain to be able to visualize the end product and get there on its own. We actually do not need to know how. He will work all of that out. Like, it is just crazy, the power of belief. Wow. And when we, have you ever spoken something over your life and been like, and it's been crazy, like something that, and then you look back and you're like, that actually came true.
That actually happened. That's what I think is fun about writing it down. I like carry a journal like it's like a shirt. I mean, it's like I always have my journal with me, you know, like I feel naked without my journal.
I love it, me too.
When you write it down and then you go back and you like one of my therapists, actually, hashtag love therapy. I mean, I don't get stuck in it, but I have different seasons of going to therapy.
Yeah.
And, you know, he told me, Lindsay, when you get discouraged, go back and read your old journals.
Yes.
You'll realize that you were stuck in blah, blah, blah 3 months ago and God helped you through it. And it'll start to build your faith.
Yes.
So whatever you're struggling with current day, don't worry. You know, he'll help you through that too. So I love what you were saying. But anyway, get back to me. Sorry, I didn't mean to
interrupt. No, you're good. But so I actually have an amazing story of it is looking back. Like, I love that your therapist said that, because I say that all the time to me. I'm like, we write out, especially when they're in the thick of something really hard. I'm like, I want you to describe it. I want you to write it out, because you are going to go back. You're going to look back at this and you're going to see, oh, I actually felt this way before, because there's going to be another circumstance and it may be totally different, but the same things are going to happen. And you're going to see the power of God. And you're going to see that you overcame, and you're going to see that he worked all things out for those who love you. He works all things out for their good. Like, he ties all of everything together. And so it's going to be a powerful grounding thing to be able to be like, wait, I've been here. I've felt this. I can confidently go through this and know that, okay, as much as this hurts right now, he's going to get me to the other side of it. And I can trust that. I mean, I can honestly look at all of the hard moments of my life and look back and say, they were the most powerful moments of my life, where God used, I mean, they were the things that brought huge transformation and huge change and huge direction. And were they hard? Absolutely. But they were the things that have propelled me forward powerfully and been able to impact not only my life, but the lives of other people. And when we can start to become, the first step I always tell everyone is awareness is the first key. It's really starting to become, yes, it's becoming aware of what is even going on in that brain of yours. And then understanding that that is, a lot of times we want to jump to action. Like we just want to do, like, and the problem a lot of times is no. Go back to what is it I'm thinking about? What is it that I'm dwelling on? What am I focusing on? What we focus on tends to grow in our mind. It's like a garden. So if I'm just focusing on the problems, if I'm focusing on how things aren't working, instead of focusing on seeking God in everything, and it's okay. I mean, let's be real. It is okay to say, like, God, and this is where it's really powerful. God, I'm struggling here.
Totally.
But it's seeking him. It's not the fact that you're not allowed to struggle. It's not the fact that those thoughts aren't allowed to enter. It's taking them captive and submitting them to him and allowing him to speak in and for him to be able to say, that's not a truth, my dear. Like that's not what... This is the truth. And then you elevate your thought to that. Then your feeling aligns with that. Then your behavior starts to change. Then your behavior changes and produces a different result in your life, a different circumstance. And then we start to begin the process again and we start to think differently. But if we just stay, if we don't allow the Lord to speak in and change the way we're viewing our circumstances, we just continue. And this is why you have so many patterns, not you, the proverbial you, us all.
Hey girl, it's okay.
But the proverbial you, we have all these patterns in our life, circumstances change, but yet why do I still end up with a new job with the same amount of money in my bank account? And it was supposed to be this huge, amazing thing. Or why do I end up with this relationship and it's a totally different situation, but yet the same result? Or why does this keep happening? It's because of the patterns that we have, the thinking and emotional patterns that have to be broken and have to be changed in order to. And the way to do that as believers is we have the Word of God, we have the Holy Spirit. I mean, we can't have more power. We should be the most powerful people. We are the most powerful people walking on this planet. And it really is about learning to just have taking those thoughts captive and submitting them to him and walking according to. So this kind of is going to divert if you're okay with it. But I have an amazing story of a God story of.
Of
a circumstance where the Lord was calling me up to live a life in faith. So I compare it to a life of our circumstances. Is my thinking aligning with just equal to my circumstances? And I just keep recreating that, right? Or the life of faith, right? And so I wrote it down because I want to get it perfectly right when I'm in front of other people. But Hebrews 11:1, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things unseen. That is, I mean, he's taught his ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. Do not be anxious about anything, but through prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to the Lord. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Whatever is noble, whatever is true, whatever is pure, whatever, I mean, he's constantly telling us.
Yeah.
Because he knows how he designed our brain.
Yeah.
He's telling us of the things to be dwelling on. And because he's wanting us to live these lives in connection with him, that he is powerfully on display in our lives. He came to give life abundantly, like to be shown abundantly through us. Yeah. So we, and I don't know, 6 years ago, 7 years ago, my brother, one of my younger brothers was like, we were about to move. And he's like, hey, you know, he's in the military and he's moving all around. And he's like, I want to buy a house and I want it as an investment property. Would you guys want to rent from me? And so we're like, yeah. And he's like, I don't care. Like, whatever you want, that's in your budget, new build, whatever, you pick the house. He's like, you'll have better taste than I do, whatever you want to do, as long as it fits what you guys want. He's like, I just want an investment property. So you go out and we're like, yeah, I don't know why. I look back now and I'm like, why did we not buy on our, I don't know, but this is the way it just worked. At that point in time, I didn't even want, I had zero. I'm like, I don't want to own a house. I don't want to buy a house. So he's like, hey, I do. So you want to be my built-in renters? Yeah, sure. So I go looking for houses, and one of my sisters at the time is also selling her house and going to be building a new house. And my dad's like, why don't you just buy your sister's house? I'm like, no, Dad, I want a new house. I know that house. Like, I love that house, but that's not, no, I don't want that house. I want something new. That's not exciting. So I go looking around and I'm looking at new builds, and in Florida, it's probably the same in California in some spaces, but in Florida, it is like houses jam packed. Like, you can stand in between the house and touch your neighbor. Yeah. It's pretty bad. So I'm like, oh my gosh, none of the new builds, the new neighborhoods I was liking. I'm like, the houses are pretty, but this isn't. And so my sister's neighborhood, the lot sizes are gigantic. They are. So I call her one day, and she didn't want to sell to my brother either. She's like, I don't want to sell to family. I want to make money off of this. Like, I don't want to feel like I have to sell to him. So I call her one day and I'm like, do you really not want to sell to Kevin? And she's like, you know what? I was just going to call you and say, do you really not want to buy this house? And we're like, okay, so God obviously wants us in this house. So my brother buys the house. We move into the house, and we ended up remodeling some things, making it our own space. And it just felt like, just like, I don't know, the house just always felt like the biggest gift. And it was so funny to me that I was so resistant to wanting to be in the house. I'm like, this is just our oldest son. There's a 12-year gap between our first son and our second son. So our oldest son went to a private Christian school. There's 5 kids in his class. Oh. His best friend ended up being right down the road from us. And when I was in the midst of, we had 3 babies in under 4 years, like, wow. He ended up being able to drive. It was a complete God thing. So across the street from us was an empty house, and I kept praying for the Lord to bring in neighbors. And I'm like, God, you know, bring in neighbors for my kids. And so he brings in a family with no kids and nothing. And I'm like, okay, come on, God. Like, I told you guys, I am not always, the thoughts aren't always good. And so I'm mad at God. I'm like, come on, God. Like, I asked you to bring in family for my kids. Like, you couldn't bring in some children for my kids to play with. Well, a year later, our neighbors move, and God brings in this family with 3 little kids, boy, girl, boy, just like ours, boy, girl, boy. The only 2 yards that are not fenced in are my neighbor's yard and our yard. They've been here for a couple years. We now, each of them, I mean, God's like, I told you I had you. I did better than across the street. Like, they each have their own best friend. They spend, I'm not lying, 8 hours a day out in the summertime playing together. Like, it's just such a God thing. My kid's school was not built when we moved into the house. It's literally, you go right out of our subdivision. It's three doors down, or 3 minutes down the road. Like, we dead into it. So I'm just constantly throughout the years of being here, I just look back and I'm like, I didn't want this house, and God is so good in it. Well, my brother calls me one day, and he's gotten engaged now. Years have gone by, 5 years have gone by, and he's like, Sarah, and I can tell he doesn't want to do this, but he's like, it's time. We're going to sell the house. Like, we need to sell the house. We want to sell the house. And he's like, we're going to give you a year. I mean, my brother is one of the most generous people ever. Like, he didn't going to give us a year notice. He doesn't need to give us a year notice, but he's giving us a year notice to let us know that he's going to sell this house. Well, in the meantime, this has been during coronavirus. Mm-hmm. My husband got laid off. Wow. And so I'm like, we're not in a position where we can buy a house. I mean, Literally, I think he said they were going to sell the house, and my husband just within days got hired at a job. And I'm like, he's got 9 months of unemployment. Like, we don't have the work history there. Like, this isn't the prime time for us to go out and get a mortgage. In the meantime, the housing market in Florida is skyrocketing, which I think it was doing all over the nation. And so our house literally went up over $50,000 in the year that we were. Yeah. I mean, in 2 years, it went up over $100,000. Like, it's just housing crisis, days on the market. And I'm like, okay. So immediately when he tells me okay, this is what you have to do, I get off the phone with him and I feel sick to my stomach because I'm looking at our circumstances and our circumstances say this isn't working out good. So through my journaling time with the Lord is immediately telling me, it's fine. The house is yours. You're going to own the house. And I'm like, okay, God. Like, really?
And you're like, confirming in your word, God. No,
yeah. Kidding. Yeah. Yeah. Well, it gets to that. It gets to that. So in the beginning, we got a year. So I'm like, okay, well, all right. We'll buy the house. We'll buy the house. We'll see what you're going to do. You're going to totally change things and everything's going to, well, so 10 months now we're getting close and we go to apply for a loan, and I'm skeptical because his work history with the unemployment period, and they're like, it's not been a year. Mm-hmm. So they said, in order for you to do this, you have to have close to an extra $40,000 of a down payment that we needed an extra $40,000. And I'm like, we don't have that. Like, that's not happening. And they're like, well, then you're not approved. You're denied. You cannot move forward. So I'm like, oh my gosh, like, I don't, God, are we really? And he kept just saying, yeah, you're going to buy the house. And so I'm like, so my father-in-law comes in and he's like, you know what? What if we buy the house? And then the Lord was telling me, no, nobody's going to come in and save you. Like, wow. It's not going to be your brother giving you $40,000 off the house to make things work. It's not going to be like nobody else is coming in to save you. This is me. And I'm going to do it for you. And it's crunch time. Like, I'm starting to be like, God. And he told me in my journaling, and sometimes it's really frustrating because he's like, you're not going to pack a box. I'm like, I'm not going to pack a box. Like, you're really scaring me now, God.
Totally.
I'm like, oh, my circumstances do not say this. So my father-in-law, my in-laws come in and they were going to help us. And that didn't end up being an option. And so we're literally getting down to crunch time. So I'm journaling out to the Lord and I just write, it was one morning at 8:30 and I had written down, I said, okay, God, you asked me to believe. And I've spoken it. I have said, the Lord said, we're going to stay here. And this is what I have believed. But we are like, we have to pack boxes. We have to find a place to live. If this is in renting was insane too. And the houses, you couldn't even find places to rent. I'm like, God, this is really setting us up. Like, if you're not going to come through. Right. So I wrote down on it, on my journal, I just wrote, am I released from believing for this house? I'm like, I believed. Is it time that were you just asking me to be faithful for a season? Am I released from this? And so I wrote the time 8:32 in the morning and I dated it. And I said, you're going to have to confirm this, Lord, with three scriptures. Mm-hmm. If I'm not released from this, otherwise, if you don't confirm this by the end of the day, I am going to assume that we are released from believing for this house. And we are now free to go and make plans to move forward and what we need to do. So I had a client at 9 o'clock and then I had a client at 10 o'clock. Well, my 10 o'clock client texts me and it's like, I'm so sorry. I have to cancel last minute. And so what you do when you're stressed at 10 o'clock, even as a therapist, I start scrolling Facebook.
So we're all normal. Perfect.
And so I come across this live from a business coach and she is... She's doing time in the word And so she is just talking and she's talking about believing. And I just type in there, I just say, oh, this resonates with me. And there's lots of people who have typed in there, and she pulls out what I said. And she said, this resonates with you, Sarah. She goes, Sarah, you have to continue to believe. And I'm like, and she goes, you have to believe. She goes, Luke 1:18, blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her. He goes, she goes, I did not plan this. This is the Holy Spirit who planned this. You are not free. You have to believe. You are not let free. And I was like, are you kidding me, God? So I screen record it and I send it to my dad, who is what my mom and dad, who are my spiritual leaders, and my sisters. And I'm like, okay, here's a picture of my screenshot of my journal entry at 8:32 saying, Lord, am I released from believing? And then here's this whole entire thing. And she flat out just looks in the camera and is like, Sarah, you have to believe. I didn't plan to do this. I feel the Holy Spirit. You have to believe. And I'm like, God. Okay.
I hear you.
Yes, I know. I was like, well, I asked for three scriptures. He's like, I did you better. Come on. I did you better. So I'm in the shower and I'm like, I'm literally like, okay, God, you have to, I mean, I am seeking you. I am seeking you. Our circumstances are saying no, but I'm trusting that you are not going to pack a box. I'm not going to go against you, but you got to show me how, like, when are you coming through? When? So I'm in the shower and I have this thought of an old account that we haven't seen or touched in years. And I literally, I don't even know if I had the shampoo out. I just wrapped up in the towel. I text my husband, who is at work. And I was like, what's going on with this account? Where is this account? And he's like, oh my gosh, I haven't even thought of that account in years. I got an email on it last week saying I needed to set up the login and everything because they redid some stuff. He's like, I have no idea. I don't even know if anything's in there. He's like, let me go look. I'll send you a screenshot. So he sets up the account. He logs in. Lindsay, there's almost $40,000 sitting in the account. I literally just fell to my knees and I just was like, okay, God, all right, what we needed. And the story's done. We closed on the house and everything. But the whole entire thing with even just the very beginning of renting the place, it's like, I don't want this house. I don't want, and then all of his tender mercies of when I was struggling with postpartum anxiety, that my son's out of five kids, his best friend would be five houses down at the end of the street, able to drive him to school. So I'm not having to pack up my babies while I'm in the thick of a really dark place and all this stuff. Just my kid's school is down the road. Their very best friends in life move next door. Just all of his tender mercies.
Yeah.
But that was the biggest prime example for me of just listening to him and seeking him first. Our circumstances, there was no way. Yeah. There was no way. And this is the life he's wanting us to live, is really this life that this wasn't possible. It was not possible. Like, how do you forget you have an account with $40,000 in it? That's a whole nother story.
I love this story. It's so powerful because it's like, it says so many things, right? It just says about like, just keeping close to him. Like,
yes,
what
yes.
He's saying. And like you said, instead of your feelings that you didn't want to move in, yes, there at the beginning, you know, your thoughts of like, there's no way, Lord, there's no way. Yes. I'm telling you, it's not going to be someone else who comes in and rescues you, Sarah.
Yes.
And sometimes, you know, he does do that.
Yes, he does. Yeah.
He totally does that. But he was telling, you know, this time, I'm going to do it,
yes,
you know, and you're just like, how, you know,
yeah, it's not possible.
I love that. And I just, I mean, it says so many things. Like, you had these spiritual leaders, you know, your family,
yes,
you know, that you were checking in with and like all of this stuff. And like, but I love the part that you're talking about, like his tender mercies, or it's, yeah, what I always call him. He's so kind.
Yes.
you know, yeah. it's like these big monster things, like the dollars in the account, but the tiny little things that make him so kind, you know?
Yes.
And it's like, that's honestly what I teach in my little class is I'm like, you know, we have to learn what the inner critic is like. We kind of have to learn like some of his like schemes, you know? Like,
yes. Yeah. Like, awareness. Yes, exactly.
Awareness. You have to know that he's also in there trying to cause these thoughts, but the solution is connecting to God, listening to God and what God is saying. And one thing that I struggled with for a long time was like, I'm not allowed to tell God how I really feel. Because negative feelings aren't good. But once I learned to just be so honest with God, Dad, I'm this, I'm, you know, I would have probably been like for real, you know, diagnosed with like depression and anxiety in my life, you know, if I ever would have like kind of went down that path.
Yeah.
But I, you know, God did a different way for me. And I would just talk to God. I'd be like, I'm sad. I'm depressed. Like I would just tell him, I wouldn't use the word depressed, but I'd be like, I'm sad, you know, and he would talk me through it. You know, I'm scared.
Oh, I love it.
I would tell him the real feeling I was having. I wouldn't pretend to be spiritual. Now I was for a season, you know, but I had to learn like, he's okay. He already knows what's going on. He lives inside of us.
Yes.
He knows what we're thinking more than we know what we're thinking.
Yeah.
I just love like your story of like, it's a beautiful story. And I know it's encouraging so many people because I mean, I've had not that exact story, but I had the least money I'd ever had in my whole life. I had no like real like job. I mean, I was building my company and my business, but I didn't have like any like major, here's how much I make these days.
Yeah.
And God said, what do you want, Lindsay? Meaning in a house, you know, or a place to live. And I said, well, I want to live by myself. I want to live by the ocean and I don't need a kitchen. So I said to God,
because I love it.
In LA, like there's a lot of weird living situations, like a lot, because it's really expensive. So like, you know, for me, I was kind of giving God, like, I don't need a kitchen is like,
yeah.
So just, you know, and y'all, like I live in exactly what I prayed for. And I don't, God has just made a way for the past year and a half for me to like pay my rent, which is not super cheap, you know, and as I'm building my business, not making a lot of money. And it's just, it has been super stretching to the point of like major fear, you know, like, am I evicted? There have been months where I was like, am I literally going to get evicted? There have been moments that I have asked for help, you know, but a lot of times, like he's just in the craziest ways come through and helped me stay here. And like, it is like my little, I call it my little tiny home. Cause it's literally like this big, but I walking distance to the ocean. I literally don't have a real kitchen and I live by myself, you know?
I love it.
Just so sweet. And, but you're right. You're right, Sarah. It has to do with our thinking. And even in getting this place, you know, I had applied for another place. And it was like kind of dirty, but it was right by the ocean, you know, like it had, so, you know, it was kind of gross, but it was right beside the ocean, you know, so I didn't care. It's in my price range, like all these things. And this is kind of a cute story, but God, you know, and I didn't get it. And I was mad. Like you said, God, all my stuff got stolen. Like I was kind of going through all the bad things that had happened in the past year or so. And I'm like, I can't believe you want to give this to me. Like I was just so disappointed, discouraged, all those feelings.
Yeah.
And then, you know, walking it out, talking with God over days. And God said, well, you didn't ask me how much your budget should be. I just had my own budget. You know, this is how much I think I could afford. He goes, you didn't ask me how much your budget should be. And I said, I know, because you're going to tell me it's supposed to be more. And then I'm going to have to trust you.
Yeah.
Yeah. It happened. Yeah. And I don't want to. And I felt like God kind of laughed at me, like in a cute way, you know, he just giggled at me. And I was like, and I knew the number, and it was like $200 more. So it wasn't like this extreme thing, but it was only $200 more than what I had been putting in the little apartment searcher, you know, in here in LA. And so when I finally put in his number, these new places popped up. And so the current place I live popped up. So I came here, beautiful. I mean, stunning, like absolutely like gorgeous, like run like a run like, oh my gosh, I can't even tell you how well this place is run. Places run super well in LA. There's a lot of slum lords, bless them Jesus, but there are. This place is like a historical landmark. Like it was a
hotel. Oh, look at God.
It has like big golden lions, which I love lions. It has these big golden lions at the front. Like honestly, and I mean, it's just like gorgeous. I love beauty. 2 blocks from the ocean, like the whole thing. And he, you know, it was just kind of like, he said, Lindsay, I couldn't let you live in that dump. Basically, he called it a dump, but you know, he was basically like, I always had this for you. But you know, you weren't listening to, like, he wasn't condemning me. Like you weren't listening.
Yeah. But yeah.
Good. That's what happened.
Yes. Yeah. What
my budget should be. I just assumed my circumstance was down here.
Right.
And he knew if you just believe a little bit more, if you trust me,
right. God, if you trust me,
so much better for you. So much better for you. And I know it's scary, you know, and not only that, Sierra, but like, just to be hashtag real, like, my landlord, as soon as I moved in, like she's been so for me the whole time. She's like, Lindsay, she's like, if you're going to be late on your rent, she's like, just let me know. And she literally said to me recently, she goes, Lindsay, I knew you were a good person when you moved in here, because honestly, with your financials, you should have never gotten in this building. I need this landlord. You know what I mean? She has said things to me like, Lindsay, I just love her. She goes, Lindsay, you keep going. She goes, because you know what? She was talking about Sarah Blakely,
Spank. Yes.
You know what? She goes, Sarah Blakely worked her butt off. She didn't use that term, but you know, we'll keep it.
Yeah.
Butt off for 3 years. And then she just sold her business for $1 billion. She goes, so you just keep going. Like this landlord is literally like my encourager. It's like a journey though, right? Like we believed him for the house. We believed.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, and it's not done. Now he's going to stretch us. And that is what it is. But your faith, I mean, I can't tell you after going through that, I'm like, I really do hear from the Lord. Like, I really do hear from the Lord. And even if something is off or something doesn't seem like, okay, I thought you really told, I just go back to him. Like, and now I don't go, it used to spin me out in this cycle of like, I don't know if this is my thought or your thought or, and and I remember praying and crying like, God, I just want to know. I hear from you. I just want to know. I hear from you. And now years of practicing this and pressing into him. And now I'm like, I hear from him. And even if I get it wrong, I'm not shaken.
Yeah. You're like, oh, well, no big deal. And he always tells me that. He's like, Lindsay, if you were, he's like, you're not perfect. And if you were perfect, you wouldn't need me. So. Feel on the perfect, but the writing it down, is there any science behind that? Like in your
well, there's scripture behind that. It's Habakkuk.
Science or scripture?
Well, no, I mean, yes, there is. That's part of learning and cementing everything and confirming it. But then there's also scripture of write the vision down, make it clear so that they can run. And then actually, we both get to be under the teachings of an amazing neurosurgeon who knows stuff even more than I even can imagine and dream of understanding the brain. She gets to do it on a totally another level. But yes, actually, she talks about that there is actually a part of the brain that there are runners. And so she's like that scripture where it says, make it clear that they can run. She's like, there is a part of the brain that functions as runners and they make that vision come to light and come true. So it's just crazy. It's so amazing how his scripture, like he's not a science book. Like he didn't go out and say, this is how your brain works and da, 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 da. But then when you get to understand how he designed us, and then you read all this scripture and you read that he made us a brand new creation in Christ, like it is. And I'm sure the depths of it, I don't even understand. Like I'm thinking about it from understanding my brain, but there's so much more that his depth of knowledge, we can't even his intelligence, we can't even probably have a pinprick on, but I'm just like, gosh, it's so what he has revealed to me and invited me in the ways that he, I'm like, you're so amazing. You're just so amazing. And it's just, it's so great. I'm like, thanks for letting me learn about you in this way.
I know, I always kind of say, like, it's, again, it's just kind of a fun phrase, but I always say he's so smart.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, some people are like, well, Lindsay, he's majestic. And he's, I'm like, I know. I'm just trying to make it fun. Okay. Like chill. But you know, it's like, he's so smart. And my favorite scripture is James 1:5. If you lack wisdom, come to me and ask and I'll give you without measure. I'm like, you guys, do you understand what he's saying there? Like he's saying, if you lack wisdom, he doesn't say in big areas or small areas. He says, if you lack wisdom, come to me and I'll give it to you without measure. I'm like,
yes,
we can come to the one who created the entire universe and ask him for wisdom about anything, about where we parked our car, which honestly I have to do a lot, or buy what to house to buy or husband to marry, you know,
yes,
give us wisdom. I'm like, that's a good one. You know what I mean?
Yes. Yes. And it is, then it is believing I've asked him for wisdom. So this is where the renewal of the mind comes in and using scripture as our evidence and not our circumstances. I asked him for wisdom. His word says he will give it. I have it. So then we start to trust that we can make decisions. What happens so much is we ask for wisdom and then we get it all in our head and looking at our circumstances and we're double-minded. Like he says, don't to be double-minded, tossed by the waves in the sea because of the wind. This is what it is, going according to scripture, living the life of faith and elevating. And so then when you can say, okay, I've sought the Lord, seek ye first the kingdom of God. He says he will, I've asked him for wisdom. He says that he will give it graciously to us and that he's not withholding any of it. I have it. And I say, I pray this all the time. All right, Lord, I've sought you. This is what I believe you're telling me to do. If I'm wrong, he also says he straightens our paths.
Yeah.
So you're gonna have to close the door. You're gonna have to, but I'm walking forward in faith, trusting that this is the way I'm supposed to go. So and good. Then I go.
Yeah.
And then the action begins to change. And I feel the security of like, I'm not double guessing, I'm not sitting in doubt and trying to move things forward. I've asked for wisdom. He says he gives it. I continue to listen and pray and seek counsel and godly counsel and let other people speak in. There will be so many times where I'm like, Dad, because he was a pastor and had God, I'm like, Dad, this is my interpretation. This is what I asked God. This is the scripture he gave me. This is the interpretation. Does this line up? Is this theologically okay? Or am I stretching this?
Yeah.
And so I do have the benefit of that. So that's, but we need to create that. Since we need to bring in that community, if we're not born into having a pastor as a father, he will give that to, if you don't have that community, that godly counsel, pray for it. He'll bring it. You don't have the time to be in the word, pray for it. Yeah. I used to pray so much like, God, I want to start my day with you. I want to start my day in the word. And I was terrible at it for years. Now, for the past 3 years, he's woken me up at 6 o'clock without an alarm clock, which is not my personality. I want to stay up till 3 o'clock and sleep in until about 10 or 11. That's my natural clock.
Sure.
Motherhood changed it, but I get up at 6 o'clock now without an alarm for the last 3 years. And I get an hour before my kids get up, time with the Lord. Like, you don't have it. You don't have the things that are the will of, he wants you to have.
Yeah.
Godly community. He wants you to have time in his word. Pray about it. He'll bring it to you.
Such a good reminder. And it's so easy to, I don't know if you've ever done this, but I sometimes assume. Like I just assume, like, God, you know I need this. Like, I don't understand why you're not getting it to me. Like, I have a quick story I feel like the Lord's leading me to share, but this was during what I would call my slim season financially, which was not that long ago. I had this $100 bill and I had put it somewhere, somewhere safe, and who knows where it was. and I really needed it and I couldn't find it. And so I like literally jumped in a dumpster to look for it because I thought I'd thrown it away.
Oh my gosh.
And I was just like, whatever, I have to move on. I literally moved places, right? So that the dumpster was at the old place. So I had moved all my stuff to a new place. I'm not the most naturally organized person in the world. So like not one of my skills. It's okay. I'm getting a little better. But you know, I moved everything. It is now a month and a half later and I need to pay this bill. And I am like, God, no, like, why didn't you ever help me find that money? And then I just was like quietly reminded of, we have not because we ask not, you know? Mm-hmm. And then I was quietly reminded that I love to ask him for wisdom. And so I was like, okay. I'm like, it's in the Bible. So it's true. So
yeah. Yes.
No matter what you think, it's in scripture. It's
yes.
So I just said to God, just a little prayer, nothing crazy. Like I was sitting in my bed and I was like, Lord, you say you have all the wisdom and I need wisdom where this $100 bill is. It was kind of a test. I was just like, why not try it? You know?
Yeah.
So I get up, you know, and I go and look in like this bag that I just wonder if it's in, you know, it was just kind of what, and then all of a sudden I just kind of mosey over to my closet. And I thought that I was wearing this one pair of jeans when I got the $100 bill. And all of a sudden it clicked in my mind. No, you were wearing this pair of jeans. Now these jeans have been hung upside down, moved location for months, you know? And I reach in and I pull out the $100
bill. I love it.
So strangely real.
Yes.
And like, for some reason, he doesn't always, like what I've learned, and I don't know what your experience is you assume, you know, I need this. Why don't you just tell me? But there's something about asking.
Yes.
What you're saying. Yes. There's something about asking. There's something about praying. I don't know why. I don't know what that is, but it's like, he can know you need something. And sometimes, yes, he just provides it, right?
Yes.
He knows he needs before we ask, the Bible also says, but sometimes for some reason he wants us to ask and I don't get it, but I've tested it. It's true.
Yes. I love that you say that. We have a rule in our house when something goes missing, and with young children, something's always going missing. And so they'll be like, I can't find my recorder. I lost my son. Like, and we're trying to rush out the door for school. And I'm like, did you pray? And now they even like with their cousins, they'll be around, where's the remote for whatever? And they're like, oh, if you can't find it, just pray. God will bring it. And we have never once, not one time, not found what we have asked and been, and they'll keep coming back. I'm like, what's the rule? Oh yeah. I forgot. I didn't pray. Let me ask him. And they will come back. I mean, within really quick window. Like, it's crazy. I'm like, we're pushing it. Because you're really making good timing, God, every single time. But he's just been so faithful. I love it. And my kids get to see, like, and I'm like, this is for everything.
Yeah.
He's giving us tangible ways to cement going to him in your mind. Like, you get to see, you lost your recorder and you looked forever. And the second you prayed, you found it within minutes after 30 minutes of tearing everything apart. Like, this is the reminder to seek him, go back to him, seek him. And it's just, he is so kind.
I've kind of tested the same thing, to be honest with you. Like, I always lose my keys. Like, just is the way it is. My dad even installed a little key hanger on the, you know, like,
and they don't go there, do they?
Well, more than they used to. But anyway, but I used to test this with God, like a lot. Like, I would lose my keys and I would try to look. And it's like, he'd let me look for 15 minutes. But then, like, the next time I would pray and I'd find it within a minute or two. And I honestly did a little case study. I literally kind of tested it. You know, I knew.
I love it.
I just knew. And I thought, I did it over, and I didn't like count the numbers. I wish I would have, but I literally was like, I want to know if this is true. Is this really true, God? And so I would look without asking him, just assuming, like, you know, I need it. Like, you know, my thoughts, God, you know, and I'd look and look. And it was like 10 minutes, 15, I couldn't find it as soon as I would, but then Other times I'd ask him right away and I'd find it right away. It was weird. And I don't have an answer for that. Same with parking spots. Some people say, God's not a parking spot God. And I'm like, no, I mean, I get it. Like, there are bigger issues than finding a parking spot. I get that. But the Bible doesn't.
He can provide you a parking spot.
Says in anything. And so, like, whenever I'm driving around at night looking for a parking spot, because I park on the street in my neighborhood, you know, like, I can drive around forever, but as soon as I'm like, God, you know, I need a parking spot. Please show me where to park. I'm telling you, girl.
Weird. I believe it. I believe it. I know. He is good like that. I love it so much.
Sarah, I could talk to you for another 5 hours.
I know.
I'm probably done listening to us, though. I'm just kidding.
I know.
But, okay, so tell us two things before I let you go. One, tell us what you do. So you help, like, Kingdom Christian entrepreneurial women to, like,
yes,
like, overcome things in their mind, but give, yes, us a full story on
kind of get out of their own way. So they've tried strategy, they have bought the courses, they have done the things, and they're like, wait a second, I'm still not seeing any results. I'm not taking the action I thought I would be taking. They're going halfway on things because it doesn't feel good to go all the way. It feels vulnerable, or their brain is doing that. I don't know how. And they're stuck in those spaces. And so I work with women on really digging into the correlation between what's going on in their brain. And we get into looking at our thoughts are creating the results we're getting in our business. And we press in the entire time to, all right, we're going to have the Lord guide us through this, and we're going to renew our mind. And if he called you to it, we're going to see those results. Now it may be time because, and you and I kind of, and I'll briefly, I know we got to wrap it up, but you know, it may be, there are seasons. And that's one of the things that is so important. I think we want to rush through, like, God gave us this vision. And so, but we're not ready and equipped to be able to handle that. And when we really, truly trust the Lord and we're seeking him, we can actually walk through the slower process and trust that he's doing something in this.
Yeah.
Didn't get this wrong, or I'm not doing something wrong. One of the things I see so much is women feeling shame and get like there's something wrong with them because it's not working right. And that breaks my heart. But God is so good because he's breaking down all those lies. And so that's what we do. It's just really working on getting clear in your mind, getting strong and rooted in the word of God, and knowing, having the tools to be able to think differently. Also work with your nervous system. There's lots of things that happen in fight, flight, and freeze when we are going outside of our comfort zone. So there's tools that I teach for understanding and recognizing when you're in that, and when your subconscious mind is just taking over and going into autopilot and stuff like that. So
amazing.
That's what I do, if that makes sense.
That makes a lot of sense. I've accidentally learned about a few of these things. My own, hitting my own brick walls. So, okay. If people want to find you, how can they find you? And you have, like, a Facebook group as well. You teach a lot. Is it free?
It is. Wow. A free Facebook group. So it is Christian Mindset Coaching for Women. I do a live training every week. So I really try to pour in a lot of value in there. And then also to the members in there, I've had a lot of women. I'm offering a 20-minute complimentary session right now, completely free. So I've had a lot of them take up on that. So that's been a lot of fun. I just love connecting with. So if anyone is listening to this and they are, you know, a businesswoman and love the Lord and want to learn more about your brain too, and how you can gear it towards success, join the group.
Yeah, cool. I'll definitely put a link to it. So you can just click on the link and jump right in. So we'll put a link to that. And then we'll put a link to get, like, connected with her if you want to.
Awesome.
The 20-minute thing, or, you know, I'll get all the links from Sarah. So
yes,
connect with her because she is amazing. Obviously, so cool. I just joined her free group, so I'm excited.
Yes, thanks for joining.
Thanks for having me. Well, the other thing I'd love to ask is if you would pray for us.
Yes, I would love to.
Thank you. Yeah. These are, again, the people that listen, all kinds of people that are trying to live their dream, right? Yeah. Or the dream that God has put in their heart for them to do. And they probably are interested in how the mind functions and, you know, how to get rid of those negative thoughts and stuff. But I mean, obviously pray however you're led, but that's usually who's tuning in. So,
yeah. All right. Perfect. Thank you. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much for this time. And I just thank you for this opportunity for Lindsay and I to get together and just share more about your goodness and your power and your glory in our lives, Lord. And I just pray for anyone who is listening in tonight, Lord, or whenever they are listening, Lord, I just help and ask that they know and see and experience your love for them, your transforming love for them, God. And I just ask that you just, your spirit just washes over them and gives them, fills them with power to be able to believe the truth of your word. May we stand on your word instead of our circumstances and get to experience you in just unimaginable ways. Lord, I just thank you so much for this opportunity. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Miss. So fun. Okay, guys, we will see you next time with another episode on hearing from these brilliant, incredible people to be inspired, encouraged, and learn more. So we love you. Bye.
Well, 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 wasn't that interesting? We can't wait until next week. Don't forget to grab Crushing Your Inner Critic Masterclass at lindsaymorgan.co and use the promo code LOVE to get 50% off. This was recorded at New Vine Music in Santa Monica, California. We would like to thank Leonardo Antonori for producing this track. To learn more about them, or to license original music for your next project, go to newvinemusic.com.